Hello everybody, Lucian Albertine here. Welcome to another episode. And I'm not alone. I may not be Liverpool, but I never walk alone in this situation. I'm with my two wonderful co-stars.
It's your boy Marlon Patrick over here.
And the one and only Lauren CPT.
And this is
Reality Bites.
And today we're going to bite on something scrumptiously beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And hot.
Stay
tuned.
Now that Marlon has cooled down and had his sip on some soul, let me tell you, this lady is none other than a beautiful gem. She brings smiles to everybody's hearts every single morning on a live TV show. She is beautiful, like we said. She's got a warm heart and she's a mother of two stunningly beautiful cats. And she's a freshly newly married woman. I'm talking about our TV host of the moment, Miss Zoe Brown.
Nice. Hello.
Hello,
Zoe. Hello.
How's it?
Good. I feel like I should be a bit more dressed up and pampered, but I went for a facial today, so you're getting a more clean look.
Zoe, you are perfect.
You are good. Of course, Marlon will say
she's one
that.
Of those people that can wear a black bag and still are good.
And love the new haircut.
Thank you. I was a bit worried it would look very mom-like, and then you still said I'm a mom of two, and then I was like, huh? Yeah. And
now we're like,
I'm a fur mom. I'm a fur mom. Yeah, fake parent.
Well, thank you for joining us on Reality Bites.
Thank you. I'm quite excited. What a nice set.
Yeah. Thank you.
Zoe, can I just say, like, I have been having the biggest crush on you since forever. So I've been putting this on our little show over here, okay? So I'm so sorry. And so just imagine how I felt when I heard you got engaged / married. Right?
Marlon.
So obviously I know, Zoe, I know you're off the market and whatever, but do you have sisters?
I actually do have a sister. But you'll have to travel very far.
Because I like the kind of look. It's right.
Tell him, Zoe, tell him.
I don't know how many miles Australia is.
Okay, that's a bit far, but okay.
And I can swim.
Shame.
Zoe, please tell us more about yourself. Who is Zoe? Where do you come from? Like, what was your school career like? High school career like?
I think in a nutshell, I'm always evolving. So if you asked me a month ago who's Zoe, it would probably be a different answer to what I would say now. Okay. I think I'm one of those individuals where, yes, I work in the media, but it doesn't feel like I do. I still feel like that ordinary girl that went to school, that went to high school, that went to university. I sometimes still get a fright when people stop me to ask me for a photo.
Oh,
so yeah, I still say I have an extraordinary job, but at the end of the day, I'm still an ordinary girl at heart. And I don't ever want to lose that. Mm. But just to give you some context, grew up in Cape Town, in Kells River, and then my family moved to Durban for my dad's work. And funny enough, that's where I met my husband. We were in high school together. And I quite like that because, you know, you go on these dating apps when I was trying to find someone or just put myself out there. And I think to a large part, I always had to prove myself that I was this down-to-earth girl. And people hear, oh, she worked here and she does this. And they see you here and they see you dolled up. And then they have this false impression of what you like and who you are. And that was always my biggest struggle. So I think it was a natural fit when, you know, the friend that I always had, we became more than just friends. Mm. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell. Cape Town, Durban, both are home. But I prefer Cape Town only because that's where my love for TV and radio started.
Oh, man, that is awesome.
So that's the thing. So a lot of people don't realize that you were on radio first before you went to TV. And because of Presenter Search, that is where your love for TV came. Guys, when I tell you Zoe's first interview, audition for Presenter Search was very memorable because Zoe's got two left feet, but obviously in the audition room, Zoe doing a link and
tripped over my
little
own
trip.
Oh,
no.
I'll never forget that interview. I think it's actually on YouTube. Because
it is on YouTube.
Jeannie and Bonang were the judges, and they were in the room with Fat Joe, and they still said to me, if you want to be a presenter, you're going to have to learn how to walk in heels. and I think that's probably the most truest me moment, because if you ever had to see me not in front of camera, I'm probably tripping over something or walking into something. Shame my poor husband. He says I constantly abuse him. Like, I always bump into him. So just like, he closes the fridge. He's like, oh, sorry. And then like, apparently that's me.
That's very true, because I mean, we used to go like, the clutch is bad. Because I remember, for example, we would have this outside area we do the weather. And we had a little gym, little pedestal.
Yeah.
And this one moment, Zoe was standing there during the weather, but all of a sudden, you just see Zoe walk back onto other frame, off the step. And when Zoe starts with the giggles, there's a non-stop situation.
Yeah, it's difficult to stop, yeah.
So yes, how did your love for radio even start? Because you, from Durban, out of school, you went abroad.
Yes, so I took a gap year. I was very confused with what I wanted to do after school. I think it was also quite tough for a couple of reasons. One, I had a group of friends that were all go-getters in life. And for the first time in my life, I didn't know what I wanted to do. They all registered at university or had gap years planned, and I was the only one that didn't know what I wanted to do. Secondly, my parents went through a big financial dip, and I didn't want a student loan behind my name. In fact, I was at that bracket where my parents couldn't afford to send me to university, but we weren't poor enough for me to get a bursary or get financial assistance. So it was that gap. And so that's when I decided to take a gap year, and it was really, really cool. My love for radio actually began, it was the movie The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh,
have you seen that?
My favorite.
Why is nobody
He is Miranda Priestley.
Yeah. I spoke about it. Yes, I spoke about it. I always reference her.
Yes. So I love that movie because I think it just proves that if you can see the end goal, for example, with that movie, when Andy saw working for Miranda Priestley for a year can open so many doors for her, she was willing to suck it up and, you know, grovel for that year. And that's kind of how the media space for me was. Like, I realized if I do the graveyard shift on KFM from midnight to four, from a Saturday and a Sunday, it's going to open doors for me. Mm-hmm. And it did. And I think with social media, a lot of people forget that I work midnight to four. I work 9 p.m. till midnight. I worked on Christmas Day. I never got a public holiday. And now that I've taken a bit of a step back and I'm enjoying life a little bit more, people are like, "Ooh, look at you." And I'm like, but you had a holiday. I never had holidays. You got to spend every Christmas with your family. I had to alternate Christmases to see my family. And so, yeah, there was a lot of hard work, and it's not pretty. It's unglamorous.
Very unglamorous.
But that's what I had to do to get to where I am now. And it's not something I would change. I mean, I would have loved more pay, but hey, that's a story for another day.
I think we all can love more pay.
So I, again, am a huge Miss South Africa fan and Miss Universe. So you can ask me any question and I can answer you who was that winner in that year. And I believe you were one of the contestants of Miss S18.
Yeah.
How was that journey like?
So that was actually quite interesting because I was never interested in modeling. And my younger sister, she was part of a modeling school, and they had this whole thing where there's a store in Durban, it's a chain store called The Hub, and they were looking for the new face of The Hub. And my sister went and entered, and I tagged along. It was at Gateway. I tagged along to go and support her. And while we were entering her entry form, the lady behind the desk was like, "Well, why don't you enter?" And I was like, "I have nothing. I didn't come here prepared. I came to support my sister." My mom had a lipstick in her bag, so we literally put lipstick on the lips and on the cheeks and a little bit on the eyes. Literally one color everywhere. And I went and did the round. So my sister was in the junior category. I was in the senior category, and I ended up winning the Face of the Hub. And that was my first little taste of modeling. They did these little booklets and brochures, so I have like a scrapbook of all my little modeling brochures, young Zoe. And that's kind of where I was like, well, maybe I should try this, or maybe I should try Miss South Africa. Yeah. So I did Miss S18, and I made it all the way to the finals. And I think I came third, which made it second princess. Yeah. And I always thought I would be a Miss South Africa. Yeah. I always wanted to be a Miss South Africa. And then when I came back from my gap year, I still remember thinking, okay, I want to enter, but I need to be strategic because I was convinced I was going to win. So I was like, okay, I need to be practical. You can't enter in second year because you still have third year before you get your degree. Yeah. So enter end of third year. And that's what I did. I still remember phoning my dad because he had he gave me an extension to his clothing account that he had. Mm-hmm. And I still phone him, like, please, can I go buy myself a new shirt? I'm going to go for the audition. Mm-hmm. And I bought myself a little shirt on his account. And I went to the waterfront. It was at the Table Bay Hotel, and that's where the auditions were. And I made it all the way through to that last, that quite a few callbacks.
The prelims and stuff. Mm-hmm.
And I made it to that last round in Cape Town and not further. Funny enough, Anele... was one of the judges there. But obviously I just winged it. I didn't realize there were girls that went for training. I didn't realize there were coaches that enabled you. So obviously if I had more knowledge around that, it's actually, there's more to the various categories, I probably would have been better prepared. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, I also realized when obviously nothing came from my rounds that I did in Cape Town, I realized I was destined for something different. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to force it. Mm-hmm. And I was bummed. And I had to ask myself, well, why did I want the Miss South Africa crown? Mm-hmm. And this was while I was just doing radio. I don't even think I was with KFM at the time. I was just doing campus radio. And I realized I wanted the crown for the platform. Mm. And at the time, I was like, well, I can get that platform somewhere else. And I think that's how I shifted and redirected my dreams, and I'm quite grateful I did go that route. I would have loved to have been part of the Miss South Africa family, but it wasn't meant for me.
You do know that there's no age limit anymore, eh?
I do, but
it's still young, though.
Exactly.
But I've outgrown that dream now. Mm. Yeah, I've completely outgrown that dream. I'm still so fascinated whenever I see a Miss South Africa and whenever we have them on the show. Mm. It's, for me, it's such a beautiful journey to witness. Mm-hmm. It was just never meant to be my journey.
Mm-hmm. I, for the first time, entered, like, I always wanted to
Miss
do
SA.
No.
It's the way you said it now, Lawrence.
They do take trans people, so by the way, I might end up in a dress. But anyway, so what happened with me again, like, I always, like, so I admire pageants so much, right?
Sure.
I love for it. I watch Miss Universe 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh. So, yeah, I'm one of those people. They sit up with me till 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I watch Miss Universe.
It's so crazy. Can I just tell her about this real quick? So what happens is, so he gets all of us, right? We're a whole, like, group of guy friends, right? So we go over to his house. And we have, like, bets and stuff, right? So Miss Universe last time, actually. So what happened was, so all of us had to, like, have a little top 10 of, like, who we think is going to win. And, like, you know, write it down. But, like,
I love
there was money on the line, eh? So we were dedicated for this, eh? A whole 500 rand is on the line. We could also, like, write it down and give, like, all give our, like, nominations, like, nominees to him or whatever. And then at the end, if whoever we chose was in there, won, that person got the 500 rand. All I'm saying is I got second. I was
Thailand.
So close.
You chose Thailand.
Thailand, yeah. Wow. I was that close. Anyway, sorry.
It's
sorry.
Always Venezuela. Yeah. But anyway, Venezuela is always in the top five.
Yeah. Yeah. So he loves Venezuela.
Oh, I love that stuff. Yeah, I had in 2020, Miss SA, so we couldn't go watch the pageant. So I usually fly out to, like, Sunset or whatever when it is the pageant. And then I will go because I love watching it live. So that year I couldn't go. And I had my own party at home. I printed the Miss SA logo on my water bottles, that lanyard.
Just dedicated.
The whole duty for the eyes 1 year. So this year, I always admired that so much. So I entered Mr. Cape Town Pride this year, and I ended up in the top five, and I was third runner up, right?
Wow.
Then I also asked myself the same thing that you asked yourself, like, what did I wanted to do with the title? Like, so I can resonate with that. And I realized I wasn't ready, do you understand?
Mm.
There was a reason I came third.
Mm.
And they always make fun of it. They say, okay, you were third runner up. But anyway. So that's the thing. Like, then you sit back and you ask yourself, why didn't this happen to you? Because I was destined for something else. Mm-hmm. Maybe this wasn't for me. You understand? But the experience I had was absolutely amazing. But all I want to say, if you ever change your mind, Intergirl. Just
yeah. You have your biggest thing.
Well, she's a missus now, so she can enter missus, they say now.
Are you a missus? No, you can be married.
Oh, now you can be married.
Oh, is that the new thingy? Yeah.
Yes, you can
I'm
be married.
I'm supposed to know this. Why did I not know this?
You can have children. It doesn't matter anymore. I love that because that's female. Like females was always been put in this little cocoon to say that you have to be a certain age, you have to look this way, you can't be a mother, but that's part of womanhood. And the Miss SA organization and the Miss Universe organization stand for female empowerment and what it is to be a woman. And I'm a huge feminist, so I am absolutely 100% with them. You know what I mean? A female is one of the most strongest people alive. They are mothers, they look after the entire household, they do the finance, the cleaning, the everything. Do you understand? So I personally admire women from a high caliber. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I admire women. Yeah. Then there's one thing I want to ask you.
Okay.
What is something that you wish you have learned sooner in your life?
Oh, this is a good question. I wish I learned the power of putting boundaries in place sooner. I think it stems from my childhood, you know, being a middle child. I know we always joke about it, but I think I really was naturally independent just because of our family structures.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a people pleaser by nature. I like receiving praise for doing good. And I think that's why I always go that extra step with a school project or anything I have to do. So I'm a people pleaser, but in an industry where there are more takers than givers, it's very dangerous for a people pleaser if they don't have boundaries in place. And I wish I'd learned sooner to put boundaries in place. And can I tell you now that I've learned to put boundaries in place, I feel so empowered when I stand up for myself. I feel so much better saying no. Yeah, I felt guilty thinking on how I'm going to say no, but That feeling you feel of doing something you don't want to do, it's horrible, it's awful, but now you've made a commitment and your word is, you know, it means a lot. So, yeah, I'm a firm believer in you can still say no politely.
You can definitely say no politely. Like you said, because our industry is so tough, and sometimes you're like, I don't want to do it, but I want to do it at the same time. But you know what? Boundaries is 100% something that I think everybody, even the bites at home, it's very empowering for yourself as well to have that boundaries in place.
Yeah.
No matter work, professional life, personal life, your finances, even for yourself. So I think that is a good message as well.
Yeah.
And that's a good question.
And just to go back to those boundaries, oh gosh, my mom. So I said, daddy, blatter weg away.
That's a train of thought.
I never forgot. But putting those boundaries in is important. I forgot what I wanted to say.
It will come back. So, Zoe, now that we had the radio part now, why TV? Because you said now, Miss SA is not maybe your destiny, but now another platform is opening up, but you don't realize it's coming.
I really enjoyed acting when I did it for the very first time. And I'm also a big believer in preparing myself for something that doesn't exist. Yeah. So in order to do that, my vision for the near future is to free up my schedule so that when the opportunity comes along, I'm prepared, I'm ready, and I can say yes. Because so often, especially in the last couple of years, I was so jam-packed. I mean, some mornings, if I oversleep 4:15 in the morning, then I know my whole day is going to run late. 4:15 in the morning, that is not normal. And I could easily leave home at 4:45 and only get home at 8:00 that evening for the first time. And that's not normal. So I'm putting my health first. I'm prioritizing my relationships. And this is what I wanted to say earlier.
There you go. We'll come back.
There's a time and place for, you know, dropping your plans to say yes to an opportunity. But then there's also a time and a place to value your family and your relationships too, where you need to ask yourself, you know, will work still be there but will that opportunity still be there? So you're constantly weighing the scale. And I feel like I'm at that phase now where I'm nurturing my family and my relationships more over the hustle. Mm-hmm. I did have my hustle era, and I won't stop hustling, but I'm not going to sacrifice that for family and relationships.
The different space in your life right now, you are a married woman, so that needs to be, your household needs to come first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes a total sense, because I know you for a decade now.
Yeah.
Sure. So I know your journey in your career, and now that you're here, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
So you spoke about like how you grew up, etc. So we all deal with like hardships at some point in our life. I would like to know, what did you do like to cope with hardships? Like, what were your coping mechanisms?
Oh my gosh. Okay, there's so many. I'll give you a surface level one, which I suppose is very deep rooted. Funny enough, I never realized I did it until someone pointed out it was a stress coping mechanism. Mm. So I have a habit of fiddling with my hair and then I pull it out. Mm-hmm. And it was when we moved, I was grade 7, when my mom did my hair the one day and she saw this bald patch here. So I actually, from stress without realizing it, pulled a large chunk of hair out over time. And I actually found that the minute I get stressed, my hand goes to my hair and I start fiddling with my hair and I pull it out. So that's one of the stress elements. Mm. Another hardship I think I've had to learn to deal with is actually finances. Because of my parents' situation, I can now say I think they have a bad relationship with money. Mm. And I've had to learn how to save and be different to them. I remember when I was on my gap year, I had a ski accident. And believe it or not, my two front teeth got kicked in. Whoa. And I needed dental work done. And I had a decision to make: the money I'd save to buy myself a little car when I get back to South Africa. Or I had two options. I can either cut my au pair year short, my gap year, come home, have the dental work done here. And that means my gap year is finished, or the money I'd saved I must use to fix my teeth and I can stay until my gap year is done. The accident happened in January and my gap year finished in November. So I had a choice to make. Do I spend the money or do I come home? And I decided, you know what, when am I going to ever get the opportunity to live abroad for another 10 months or however many it was? I used the money I'd saved. And then after that, I think because of the history, I kind of just hit a phase of, oh, what's the point of saving? Mm-hmm. And I lived a more splurgy life. Like I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to buy 5 pairs of the same pair of pants in different colors because what's the point of saving? You have to use it anyway. That was kind of my attitude for a long time. And I've had to learn to break that habit. I've had to learn to build a nest. And that was one of the hardships. I think to this day, I don't think the way my family handles money is appropriate. So I'm making changes so that I don't end up in the same position.
It's like they are this kind of vision. Like I also do that. I see somebody else with something and I learn from them. It's like, oh, I should really change that about myself. And I can resonate with that splurging. Yeah. So now and then I still do.
I know. You try and justify it.
Zoe, quick question. So you are a role model to so many out there, right? True. Like the young, old boys, girls, you're a role model to everyone out there. Who do you look up to? Who's your role model?
I think I don't have a specific individual. There's quite a few that I like and admire. I admire qualities in individuals. So I would say overall, if I had to pick a South African mentor, it would most definitely be Joanne Strauss. She ticks so many boxes in terms of a family orientated. She's a mother, she's a wife, she's in the media space, she was a Miss South Africa, she's got her own business. I love that. And that's something positive to strive for. But there are so many individuals who I take qualities of them that I really admire. And I strive for. So I have a lot of friends who have mothers that are single, and I just admire their hard work, their dedication. They were able to provide for their kids. They didn't have to, they're single by choice. They've provided for their kids financially without spoiling their kids or having the kids struggle. So that's a friend of mine's mom that I really, really admire. There are a lot of women that I see qualities that I admire in them, and I draw a lot of inspiration from that.
Listening to what you were saying and speaking about your life experiences, it reminds me of this quote that I really, really like. And this explains, basically for me, this explains you. And it is a quote that has been used by my South Africa currently, Natasha Joubert.
Yeah.
And I love it because that really resonated with me as well. And it's saying that you are not a product of your circumstances, you are a product of choice. And what I love about this is, like, through everything that you've been through, you have made decisions for yourself. You made a choice. Do you understand? So, and today you are a product of your choices that you made. And look at Zoe Brown today. That's all I can say. So, yes, we all make some stupid mistakes sometimes along the way. But it, like you said, finances, you have to learn how to work with that, etc. In the media world, this is what you have to do, etc. So you made those choices. You understand? I come from a previously disadvantaged background, and I was living in the ghetto, and I saw what's happening around me. I always say, like, and I don't know if this is like very hard for me to say or whatever, or it sounds harsh, but I don't want to sound harsh, but I
believe, the truth.
I believe that we all grew up in the same area. Yeah. We all went to the same schools. We got the same education. I made a choice, do you understand, to build myself, to better myself, do you understand, to get out of the circumstances where I was, do you understand? So and that's why it sits with me, like, you are product of your choices and not of your circumstances. Because we so easily want to blame our circumstances. No, we poor. We didn't have that.
Yeah.
And I know there's people that don't have the strength to say I'm going to break out of this.
Yeah.
But somehow, within yourself, you have to make a decision and say, I don't want this anymore. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So that's why I say, when you make a choice, you know you are making that choice for the betterment of your own life.
Yeah.
So that whole saying, that whole quote reminds me of you. So next time, when I think of that quote, which I really, really love, I'm going to think of you.
Thank you.
That's what I've learned today from you. And I think that is a soul-to-soul moment.
Cheers to you on that.
Cheers to me on that. There you go.
Cheers.
Cheers. I don't want it to pop.
I'm
not pregnant, I promise.
Let's make it clear, Zoe Brown is not pregnant.
Just on that quickly, you just sparked something in me. There's this post about Lisa Lori, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was feeling it with her. Hey. So she's married, right? Also, Miss Africa 2015, all the way from Eldorado Park. I love you, Lisa Lori. Shout out to you. So she had this post on Instagram where someone commented, "Oh, she's pregnant."
No, somebody spoke about a womb.
A womb, yeah.
And she just puts like for herself boundaries in place, and she said that she never wants to do this kind of post, but she did. So the post is basically saying, you don't discuss my womb out there. You don't ask if I'm pregnant. You don't question it. Yeah. This is my life, my decision with my husband. So back off. And I think that is profound because people need to leave women alone regardless.
Boundaries.
And that's why you say it now. Like you said now, I'm not pregnant, because automatically people will assume everybody's having that. Yeah. Why are you having water? Is she pregnant? Oh my God. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing. Because I'm a huge feminist, I'm saying this. Don't assume. You understand? We don't know what females' bodies are going through, etc., and all that stuff. So, it's just your choice. You like water. I like beer.
Boom. So, Zoe, what's next? Because we've delved into the journey from childhood to going abroad to your journey into your career and now into a married woman, which we're so happy for you about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm happy because
beautiful weddings about.
I know the journey.
Beautiful
wedding. And I was there.
Of course.
Oh, can I tell you, Lucian was the only person that wore white to my wedding.
Go on, Lucian. Go on.
Let me clarify this.
By the end of the evening, he had a white shirt with a white pair of pants on.
Yeah.
So I
sounds
had
like
two
Lucian's
outfits. I had two outfit changes. Mm-hmm. I had obviously the ceremony outfit, and then I had the reception outfit. Mm. But my reception outfit was white, but I had a brown jacket over it. Mm-hmm. So when I took
that jacket was nowhere to be seen.
It was Zoe's moment. It's the only one supposed to be white.
I only realized that a few weeks ago when Zoe told me, don't tell me and myself, and my colleagues at work, this should be full on white. Then I realized, oh snap. It never clicked to me until she told me. And I'm like, yeah, it was my wedding too. I was part of the journey. But it was absolutely stunningly beautiful wedding.
And
thank you that I could be there too.
Thank
be part
you.
Of that.
No, but you're very special to me. You know, in this industry, it's tough to make hartsvrienden. That's the best way to say it. Yes. Those soul friends. But I think what I can say about what's next is I'm craving adventure. I am craving newness. Mm. I am craving change. But I'm also at the same time craving stability. So those are things I'm craving. I'm putting it into the universe. So I don't know what's next. I always find it very tough because all my life I had a goal I wanted to achieve. And I feel like I have achieved everything I wanted to do. Mm. And now it's just a case of achieving those feelings I want to start feeling. So I'm open to change and adventures and changing things up. So that's what's next right now. Sorry, I don't have a better answer.
No, that's a good answer.
Always sort of, what's next? What's next?
I love that.
I'm using this time to figure out my next.
Yeah,
I love that because you don't need to. Like, for example, if somebody asks me what's next for you, I'm in my next right now.
Yeah.
The podcast, Reality Bites.
Yes.
So what is after this?
It's daunting.
You don't know. Yeah, exactly.
That's where anxiety happens because, I mean, our executive producer Kelly was speaking earlier about, why do you have anxiety? I'm like, I've been suffering from anxiety for a while. If I say a while, it's been a long time. But I'm not taking anything forward. So I'm trying to get my practices going, you know, the breathing and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it could be IBS too, who knows? I can sit there with a yellow number two, but who knows? But it's not a number two. And I'm saying. But thank you for coming, Zoe.
Thank you.
But before you go, we need to do some quick fire questions.
Yeah, Mr. Quick Fire.
Yes.
Okay.
So Zoe, so this is a little tradition we have on the show, right? So what happens is I'm gonna ask some quick fire questions. So just this or that.
Okay,
cool. So very straightforward, very easy. So coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Oh, okay. Oh.
You said quick fire. Sure.
I wasn't ready. Oh, okay. Pizza or burgers?
Pizza.
Lovely. Beach or mountain?
Mountain.
Flip-flops or sneakers?
Sneakers.
Ooh, summer, winter?
Winter.
Ooh, fiction, non-fiction?
Fiction. I always have to think which one's which.
Okay.
Which one's the story? Fiction.
Books or movies?
Books.
Oh, okay, awesome. And then the last one I have for you is cats or dogs?
Cats.
Come on.
She's got two cats.
I told him.
I knew that one, actually.
And then in there, because we have to make it very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Zoe.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You were an awesome
It's been such a pleasure having you, Zoe. Yeah. Just to unfold the woman behind the persona of the movie, you know? A lot of people don't get to know people on that kind of level. And for opening up, I appreciate that. And thank you.
Yes, and thank you for like being here. I say this all the time. so I didn't know you before this. I only saw you on social media and obviously on TV. But from today on, I think I have this huge, more bigger respect for you. Getting to know you better, and you're definitely one of the people I look up to.
Thank you so much.
And Marlon, anything you want to say last before we go?
Man, the crush didn't go away. It's not away. That's it.
It's still there.
It's still there. There you go.
Maybe we should introduce you to our husband, maybe at some point.
Yeah, I think that's going to take it.
I will
look it up with Robbie and with Zoe, so we can disappear.
Okay.
Do not take me with.
No, I will not.
Just I have a crush on my husband. All
right, guys. On that note, husband, wife, and everything, crushes and crushes. Gina, thank you for joining us right here on Reality Bites. Please like, share, comment, and subscribe. And don't forget, Bites, you are enough. When you walk into a room, fill it. You are enough. Don't ever forget that. And remember, We love you.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Cheers, y'all.